Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Well, as we mark Transport Month in South Africa, the spotlight inevitably turns to the roads and railways and power lines and digital backbones that connect or oftentimes fail to connect our economy. For small and medium-sized businesses, these infrastructure challenges aren't just an inconvenience. They're often existential. And joining me now to unpack this is Arnold February, Regional Investment Manager at Business Partners Limited, one of South Africa's leading SME funders. And they sit with a lot of data. They deal with SMEs on a daily basis. Arnold, great to have you on the show. Let's just start with the big picture, because for years we've talked about load shedding. Thankfully, this year load shedding seems to be contained. But now it seems the conversation has broadened. There's water shedding. The roads are in a terrible state. There's patchy internet access. From your vantage point, working directly with SMEs, how are these infrastructure issues affecting their day-to-day operations?
Michael, thank you. It's good to be with you, and thank you for the questions. So we focus on small to medium-sized businesses. That is all we do. And so we have a direct line of sight of how these things affect SMEs. We know that when there were power outages, that not only did the country struggle, but small to medium-sized businesses were not able to deliver their goods and services. And now what's happening is the cost of transport, the lack of infrastructure maintenance, and water and internet connectivity is affecting small to medium-sized businesses in delivering goods, in ensuring that they can meet the customer demands within time. There's a cost element to it, and it just deletes or reduces their competitive advantage. So it's a huge impact on a big spectrum, not just in terms of cost, which is the one that we obviously look at, but you know, consequently, also whether the small to medium-sized businesses are able to make ends meet.
And I was having a look at that. I mean, it's dire. The recent Small Business Growth Index, transport costs up almost 61%, utilities 57%, raw materials over 50%. And I think a lot of that does stem from infrastructure inefficiencies, and it's the end user that pays. Do you get a sense that this has become something of a tipping point for many SMEs? Are we at risk of seeing more closures or stagnation simply because the cost of doing business is rising faster than you can grow your top line?
Look, it's definitely something that if you take a survey of 1,000 SMEs, that will be on the top three things: the cost of doing business and the infrastructure costs. Now, are we at a tipping point yet? Difficult to say, and I suppose it varies depending on industries and depending on how savvy entrepreneurs are. But what I can tell you, and this is real, if you consider the individuals, the customers, and the people on the street, I mean, they don't have money to spend on going to restaurants or to spend on doing social activities. And I had actually a discussion with a group of entrepreneurs about this, and they were comparing 15 years ago to now. And these were restaurateurs, and their argument was that, you know, they're doing what they can to entice customers to come. They're doing sales, and they're doing what they can from a marketing perspective. But the real terms, people don't really have that much money to spend. So yeah, there will definitely be businesses that are affected directly, and these are restaurant businesses and people that rely heavily on the man on the street or the disposable income available. But consequently, also businesses that provide services to other businesses will find it very difficult to maintain their price. They often have to absorb their cost in their margin with reduced margins. And then also often they can't deliver products and services in the projected time just because, you know, congestion and railways and roads not being as effective as what it used to be.
Yeah. And we know, I mean, if you look at the data, government has earmarked, what is it, R1 trillion for infrastructure over the medium term. And it sounds impressive until you realize that the World Bank estimates that the real need is between 4.8 and 6.2 trillion rand by 2030. So if you're an SME, you've actually got to look at that and say, I've actually got to start investing in building resilience. You can't just take the downtime and think that government's going to come to the party and fix things overnight. You know, as a financier, as business partners, you're a supporter of the SME ecosystem and have been for decades. Obviously, finance alone can't overcome infrastructure barriers, but how do financiers like yourselves adapt your product suite to help SMEs build that resilience against these shocks?
It's very difficult because funding is a solution, but definitely not the only solution needed. And so in terms of our products, we focus on providing funding for small to medium-sized businesses who are involved in infrastructure developments, maintenance, and improvements. But in addition to that, we're looking for entrepreneurs that have innovative products, that are coming up with new ideas on how to provide solutions to the infrastructure problems, as well as how to do things more cost-effectively. We have an Entrepreneur of the Year award, and we want to commemorate these entrepreneurs. We want to put them on a pedestal. We want to show the world that these are the type of individuals that we want to promote within the country, because entrepreneurship and innovation goes hand in hand. And so it's not just funding, it's celebrating them. It's encouraging them to come forth with new ideas. It's also about partnering with educational institutions, platforms, and also about lobbying at government and public sector institutions to see how we can together fund, both from a private perspective and from a public perspective, collectively fund these entrepreneurs that are bringing solutions to the table. So that is, I think, the primary ways in which we're trying to assist entrepreneurs and bring them forth and reward them for their innovation.
I loved what Jack Ma said. If you can cast your mind back to the president's first term, I think back in 2018, he hosted the founder of Alibaba, Jack Ma, at one of his investment conferences. And Jack Ma said, the thing about China is that we made our small businesses, our entrepreneurs, we made them the heroes in society. Mm. Yes, I know there's a lot of state support, but you know, when the state is actually functional, that is a model that can work. Sadly, and I know there's been a lot of progress, but we certainly can't say that the South African state is anywhere near as functional as you know, the Chinese state is. But given that, and the fact that SMEs really should be the heroes, and the fact that you recognize them through this Entrepreneur of the Year award, maybe you could share an example of a small business that you've worked with that's turned some of this infrastructure challenge into an opportunity.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you for that opportunity. There's a few, but the first one that comes to mind is a civil engineer that worked in a big company and decided he wants to run his own business to make a difference. And a couple of things. Firstly, he focused on solutions for potholes and infrastructure, which is a fairly big problem in Gauteng. He's come up with an innovative product, a mixture of the tar that will be more durable. It's a lot easier to solidify, and consequently, it's faster to implement and it lasts longer. So he then went on to get 4 municipalities to be a service provider on their database of 4 municipalities. In addition to that, he looked at partnering with an individual who actually was at one of the universities, and they came up with a building product that replaces brick and mortar and allows for schools to be developed by a third of the time it would take to construct a school. And that is the type of entrepreneurs that we really want to commend. You know, it's not somebody that just has a technical background and that's wanting to earn his or her keep, but wants to make a difference and is thinking innovatively in doing so beyond even the scope of his initial studies. I mean, he went from civils to construction. I don't know what is next for the individual, but yeah, very, very great story and a very positive and enthusiastic entrepreneur. We're happy to have had you.
Hey, hello, Vietni wat ons Vietni, Arnold. It's the South African DNA. I mean, it is something truly special about South Africa. Our entrepreneurs operate in an extremely challenging environment. And I think, you know, being a business owner, being an entrepreneur is often about dealing with volatility, dealing with uncertainty, responding to crisis and challenge. And when that's your norm, I think it builds a certain resilience. I mean, ideally, we don't want to have to be as resilient as we have been. But I do think that is why South Africa manages to still eke out modest growth, even though all the cards are stacked against us. I've got to ask you, just kind of looking ahead, and if you had the Minister of Finance and the Minister of Public Works sitting across from you right now, what's the one thing that you'd ask them to prioritize to make life a little easier for South African entrepreneurs?
Just one thing?
I know, it's difficult.
So I think for me, it's not about how much money you put down or how much money you outlay for the next 3 or 5 years. It's about getting things done. And I would strongly encourage them to focus on their project management abilities, to finish projects in time, within cost, with efficiencies and without corruption and without everything in between. The second thing is I would encourage them to work directly with small to medium-sized businesses and entrepreneurs who are offering solutions to the country's problems. In infrastructure, there's a lot of possibilities, and the possibilities are solutions that are thought-child of the entrepreneurs out there. So I know that is two, and I got five more, but I think it comes down to get your house in order. Just, it's not about just the money. Just get the project management to a T.
Yeah.
And once you have that success, you can build on that framework for the next outlay.
Yeah, and I certainly hope that the work that Operation Vulindlela and Rudy Dix and Saul Musker and the rest of his team are doing in phase two, which really is now about also looking at local government, manages to have the same success that they've had so far. We're seeing the signs of turnaround at Transnet, equally at Eskom, but at local government. And often it's that last mile of service delivery, be it, you know, the roads that are too potholed to get to a business storefront or water that forces a hospitality or restaurant business to shut down. That's really now where SMEs are feeling the pain. Arnold, it's been a real pleasure having you on the show. Thanks for the insights. And let's hope the finance minister was listening ahead of that mini budget next month.
Thank you very much, Michael. Hopefully I'm not in too much trouble.
I think we all need to shake the baobab really appreciate the honesty and the insights. That was Arnold February, Regional Investment Manager at Business Partners here on Classic Business.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.